The New Testament is our topic today, and specifically when it was written and how reliable it is. Our guest is Dr. Craig Evans, a returning guest. He's a professor at Houston Baptist University, and he's the author of a very important new book called Jesus and the Manuscripts. Jesus and the Manuscripts. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and Dr. Evans, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thank you, Jerry. Good to be back.
Sure. Okay, give us an idea about the New Testament, because we know that higher scholars, higher critics in the last 200 years have cast a lot of doubts in people's minds. For example, I remember famously when it was said that none of the Gospels, for example, were written by anybody that lived during the lifetime of Jesus and had any personal memory of it. So this is all something that was passed on later. And I understand, you know, that's not accurate, but that's what some of the scholars say.
Well, yes, and I can generalize. I think you're right. You go back 150 years, 200 years, and you had those kinds of statements made, but they were statements made in the absence of any kind of relevant evidence. No archaeology had been done yet. We didn't have the oldest manuscripts yet. Famously, one scholar, a German scholar, said the Gospel of John probably wasn't written until almost the end of the second century.
Whoa.
In other words, 100 years further, later than tradition held. Well, then we found a fragment of John that dated to the beginning of the second century. That was rather embarrassing. You can't have copies of John 80 years before it's written. And then the archaeology starts taking place, too. And then we realize, hey, wait a minute. These Gospel writers know what they're talking about. Maybe we've dated the Gospels too late. The claims that there's no eyewitness testimony doesn't seem very realistic anymore. And so you start getting these reassessments after more and more data comes to light.
What was the first book of the New Testament written that we know of? Galatians? I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, possibly. could be 1 Thessalonians, could be Galatians. Both of these are candidates for being written right at the end of the 40s. Maybe 50. I'm inclined, too, to see the letter of James is very early, written about the same period of time.
Oh, wow.
And after Peter has left Jerusalem and James, the brother of Jesus, is now in charge of the church in Jerusalem. So these are among our very earliest letters. And, you know, the whole New Testament is written by the end of the first century. So at about a half century or so of time, 27 books are written. And nobody knew at the time they would all be in the New Testament. Nobody even knew there'd be a New Testament. It's just the early authorities in the church were writing things down, practical stuff, explaining stuff, correcting stuff. And then in the second century, church leaders were saying, you know what, we need to gather this stuff up and just keep reading it and studying it because it sure is helpful. And that's how the New Testament began.
Okay, and explain to us the general process of an epistle. Like, for example, Paul writes a letter and he sends it to the Galatians. Is there any indication that this was read by more than the Galatian Christians? Or that it was intended to be read by more than the Galatian Christians?
Well, you know, we don't know. Paul kept his own letters, and so copies of them. And so,
How would he do that? I mean, without Xerox machines or carbon paper? I'm serious.
Yeah, that's good. Well, we know now, and again, this is because we have evidence. You know, we have several hundred thousand papyrus leaves of writing from antiquity from one city alone, thousands more elsewhere, and these include copies of letters. And so we now know that it was the custom for somebody to write a letter and say, okay, here's the autograph, that is the one I sign, and it'll be sent to the destination, and then I make a copy of it, and it's written out by hand, no Xerox machine, and it's retained. And so Paul kept copies of the letters he sent. I mean, can you think about it for a moment? Who's going to write out Romans, one of the most influential letters ever written in human history? And there's only one copy of it, and you put it aboard a ship that's going to go across the Mediterranean and deliver it to Rome? No, I don't think so. And so you hang on to a copy. So there were copies made. Also, some of the letters, Jerry, you might not know this, but you mentioned Galatians. If you read it at the beginning, it's the churches of Galatia. it's not just one church. There are several small house churches in this particular region. It's today it's Turkey. And so there could well have been multiple copies. And so he doesn't just send out one copy, but four or five. Ephesians is another example of that. Even the letter of James that I mentioned a moment ago is probably written by James, probably multiple copies. So we should not assume that there's just a single copy, but there's the one sent out, one or more, plus the one that is retained. Even at Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, we found six copies of the same letter, and talking about, you know, what the works of the law are and that kind of thing. And so that shows you that multiple copies were made, which of course greatly increases the likelihood of survival.
Yeah.
And stabilizes the text. I mean, it'd be impossible for some heretic to get a copy of one of Paul's letters and change it, and then that wins out. How can it? Because there are multiple copies of it elsewhere. So it has a great stabilizing effect on the text, and this is what I talk about in my book. And this is why theories about, oh, the text has been changed, who knows what Paul originally wrote, that's just nonsense.
Explain the process in which sometimes scribes were used to make copies even while the text was being dictated. In other words, more than one copy was being made even at the very moment of dictation, apparently, in some cases.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. There were writing schools and businesses where somebody might read a text and several scribes are actually making copies of it simultaneously. And so you might have five scribes sitting there writing away with their little wooden boards in their lap and their papyrus in front of them. And there they are, letter by letter, word by word, writing out what has been being read to them. And that was standard practice. And by the way, Paul, you know, when he ends his letters, he often says, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. In the Galatians letter we've been talking about, he says, see what large letters I write. And you know, people speculate, oh, he had a visual problem or he had migraine headaches. Or, no. Paul is not himself a scribe. And if you know what papyrus is, and if you know what a quill, a feather or a stylus, what that is, and then you make your own ink, and you have this little ball of black soot that you add a little bit of water or oil to it, now you've got your ink in a little dish, and you're writing that out, scratching it out on papyrus, you realize, man, this is not easy. You or I pick up a ballpoint pen. We have a nice, smooth pad of paper. It's easy to write. It was not easy to write then. So you had professional scribes. And so Paul was literate. He could read and write, of course. But he would dictate his letters to a professional trained scribe so that what was sent to the destination looked neat and professional.
So there were copies that were made even initially, and the one thing that comes to my mind, I remember seeing a debate between Bart Ehrman and Dan Wallace. Dan Wallace of Dallas, and Bart Ehrman is a skeptic, famous skeptic, former evangelical, he claims, from University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and has written many books, casting doubt on the New Testament. But what Ehrman said was, Paul would write his letter, and then later on somebody would copy that letter, and then somebody else would copy that letter. So we have copies of copies of copies, blah, 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 blah. You know, by the time we have an existing manuscript centuries later, how do we know this is what Paul actually wrote? We don't. And implied in his whole point was that we really have to be intellectual skeptics when it comes to the reliability of the New Testament. Your thoughts?
Well, there are two big mistakes, and he ought to know better. For one thing, the original letter, the autograph, is prized. It's the one that came from Paul's hand. It's the one that has his signature. Well, this scenario about a copy of a copy that Professor Ehrman has suggested overlooks the fact that the original is itself copied many times. So there isn't just a single copy of the original, and then a single copy of that copy, and so on it goes, so that Chinese whispers, by the time you get 10 generations away, we don't even know what the text is anymore. It's not like that at all. So the original is copied many, many times. So there are all these first and second generation copies over a course of 100 years. This stabilizes the text. Then the other thing, the other mistake in that kind of comment is, of course, when scribes make mistakes, and they do, their eyes play tricks on them, they write the same word twice, or they leave a word out, or a whole line gets left out. Other scribes, of course, don't make that same mistake. And so we have multiple copies, and then we compare them horizontally. We look across A, B, C, D, we look at the copies, and it becomes real obvious which one has a mistake and the other ones have it right.
This is fantastic information. Are there any autographa of the New Testament?
Well, we don't think so. None that have been identified. Part of the problem, Jerry, the papyri that survive. A moment ago I said several hundred thousand leaves of papyrus. Well, that's all from one place. It's Egypt. And Paul did not write a letter to the church in Egypt. He didn't write a letter to the church at Oxyrhynchus or Alexandria. And so then there'd be a chance. Instead, all of his letters went north. They went to Greece. They went to Turkey. They went to Rome. And these are places where an original letter exposed to the elements, it just is not going to last 2,000 years. But the papyrus in Egypt did, because it's dry, it's arid. We found in tombs, we found them in mummies, we found them in the sandy ash, the sandy trash mounds outside the city of Oxyrhynchus. So Paul didn't write letters to Egypt. That's why it's most unlikely that we're going to find an autograph. It's too bad, but he didn't. But papyrus, nonetheless, lasts a long time, even in other places like Greece and Rome and so on. And so the originals would have lasted 100, 200 years and would have been studied and copied many, many times. I think most of the autographs, and the word autograph means it's written, it's signed by the author, they were deliberately destroyed by Romans. We have a couple of times in history when the church was persecuted that the Roman emperors ordered the confiscation and destruction of the Christian scriptures. And autographs were venerated. Autographs were prized. They would have been well known. Enemies of the church would have said, that's one of their books right there. You know, they show it to would-be converts. And so the constable would seize that and tear it up, burn it, or whatever. So that's what happened to the autographs. They weren't just thrown out as trash. They were cared for, studied, copied, venerated, but Rome eventually got them and destroyed them.
Wow. Okay, so going back to the New Testament itself, all of it would have been composed within the first century. Do you want to give us a quick overview of what you think the 27 books, you know, approximately when they were written? We have about a minute left.
Yeah, they just put it this way, second half first century, that is from about the year 50 to about the year 100. It's possible one or two books got outside that, maybe a tiny bit later, but all 27 or at least most of them would have been written in the second half of the first century.
Okay, you, any comment about the Gospels in that process?
Oh, the Gospels definitely were in that earlier period of time. The Gospels were probably written, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in the 60s and 70s and through there. John is to be dated maybe around 90 or 95, something like that. So all four of the New Testament Gospels are definitely in that period of time, second half of the first century. Now, these other Gospels that people like to talk about, Gospel Thomas, Gospel Philip, Mary, and all that other stuff, that's all second and third century. And that's why they're so different. That's why they don't exhibit the life as it really was in first century Palestine. That's why archaeologists don't use them. Archaeologists use Matthew, Mark, Luke, John because they're early, they're realistic, and they provide reliable information.
So we can trust the New Testament.
Well, if the archaeologist can trust them, and the archaeologist and his 100 volunteers move 50 tons of dirt on the basis of the Gospels, that's a high level of trust. And so if they can do that in the hot sun and move tons of earth because they think Matthew's got it right, I can accept it, too, sitting in a comfortable chair in my house.
All right. Jesus and the Manuscripts by Dr. Craig Evans, craigaevans.com. Thanks so much again, Dr. Evans. All the best.
You're very welcome, Jerry.